Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 25. Last week was, the emphasis was, do not be proud. Why? What's the reason? Do not be proud. Because if you are, judgment comes. That's really a theme throughout the entire Bible. Everybody that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. If people stay proud their whole life, then they die and they're resisted by God from coming into heaven because God is not going to allow the pride of man to enter into the eternal bliss that we all want. And so today the title is going to be Israel Mourns Its Sorrows, But Not Its Misdeeds. And that's an important concept too that applies to our life today. People can get into the world, even Christians can get into the world, and then they can mourn the sorrows associated with disobeying God. But what does God want? He wants us to mourn our misdeeds. He wants us to repent. He wants us to acknowledge that we just need to do it His way. So, covering the verses that we finished with last week in Jeremiah 13, before we get into 14, is verse 25. This is your lot. The portion of your measures from me, says the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore, I will uncover your skirts over your face, that your shame may appear. I have seen your adulteries and your lustful names, the lewdness of your harlotry, your abominations, meaning idols, on the hills and the fields. Woe to you, O Jerusalem, will you still not be made clean? Will you not repent, is what he's saying. So because you have forgotten me, why? Because you got into lust. You got into lust and pleasures. Has America forgotten God? Yes, for the same reason, lust and pleasures. That's how Satan works, is to just get people into the lust and pleasures of the world, putting up idolatry, and for them they would have all the high hills, had idols, and it was go with your partner and worship idols on the top of the hills in immorality. And God says, okay, I'm going to lift their skirt up. Judgment's going to make you guys exposed for your lewdness. So something that we should never be involved in is people that confessed the name of Jesus. In fact, the apostles wrote, everybody who names the name of Christ, what? Let him depart from evil. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah, chapter 14, verse 1, concerning the droughts. So Israel was experiencing droughts before they experienced the sword of Babylon coming and destroying. Was that something that God had prophesied would occur for a nation to turn away from God? The droughts will come. And once again, this is the Bible clearly teaching human-caused climate change. When people say, well, humans are causing climate change, absolutely, it's in the Bible. And this is a verse that we go to. Remember, Jeremiah 14:1. And then Deuteronomy 28, which we'll get to in a minute. Judah mourns, and her gates languish. They mourn for the land, and the cry of Jerusalem has gone up. Their nobles have sent their lads for water. They went to the cisterns and found no water. They return with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads because the ground is parched, for there was no rain in the land. The plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 28. God brought drought to the land of Israel. And in his case, he didn't have to use chemtrails. He just, weather modification. It just was gone. Can you imagine that you go to Safeway and there's no bottle of water? Your wells are dry. The day that you realize, I don't have any water, you're realizing that very soon you're going to die. So they're going to the cistern and it's empty. There's nothing left. And the farmer tries to plant and there's no water in the ground to even allow planting or to allow a crop to grow. And God warned the Jews in Deuteronomy 28. And so the first 14 verses are the blessings if you obey. The rest of the chapter is cursings if you don't. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Now let's go to verse 23 to emphasize our parallel passage with Jeremiah. And your heavens, which are over your head, shall be bronze, and the earth, which is under you, shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. For the heaven, it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. From the heaven, God's judgment will come down until you are destroyed by drought. So then, this is the time of Moses. So you fast forward 1,000 years. And Israel is in drought. And not only are they in drought, they know that Babylon's come already to a certain extent and is about to come more to defeat them. So let's go back to Jeremiah 14:5. And even the animals are affected. Verse 5, yes, the deer also gave birth in the field, but left because there was no grass. And animals will do that. If a deer knows, I can't even feed myself, I can't even feed myself. There's no grain, there's no water. They'll drop their young and just go for self-survival that God has given them. And the wild donkeys stood in the desolate heights. They sniffed at the wind like jackals. Their eyes failed because there was no grass, because there was no water, because of the drought. Now, was Texas experiencing a drought in cattle country recently? And so then there was a fire in that area of Texas and wiped out, as I've mentioned before, 25% of the American cattle herd. And we're already seeing the prices escalating rapidly in the grocery stores associated with meat. And so drought that had fire that wiped out a fourth of the beef industry in the country, is that going to affect us and the ability to eat protein and the health of the country and everything else? So why? Is America like the sins of Israel? Yes. It applies. It's not, God's judgment doesn't fall on just the Jews. How do we know that? Because it fell on the Canaanites. It fell on the other nations because of their immorality. God used the Jews to judge the Canaanites because of their immorality and rebellion against God. Now, verse 7 to 9 of Jeremiah, the people are complaining that God is not protecting them. It's kind of like, we're Jews. Put it in our vernacular. We're a Christian country. We're Americans. That's the mindset. It applies. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do it for your name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against you. Oh, the hope, God, of Israel. You're our hope. His Savior, you're Israel's Savior in time of trouble. Why should you be like a stranger in the land and like a traveler who turns aside to tarry for a night? We need rain. Why should you be like a man, astonished, like a mighty one who cannot save? Yet you, O Lord, are in our midst, and we are called by your name. Do not leave us. So they're suffering and experiencing pain because of their sin and rebellion, but they're calling on the fact that we have the temple. We're your people. We were chosen. And not a stitch about we're going to repent of our ways. We're going to turn away from our wicked ways. Please have mercy upon us because of our repentance. They don't do that. And here's God's answer. Thus says the Lord to this people. Thus they have loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. He will remember their iniquity now and punish their sins. Forgiveness and mercy are over. Judgment is now. Your attitude is not even right. You're bugged because the price in America has gone up instead of the price of rice in China. Because the inflation's going crazy. Because you can't walk the streets safely. Because there's drought. Because there's immorality everywhere that's affecting our families. You're worried about all that. But have you ever heard a call of let's get back to God and repent from our society in any way, shape, or form? And so God says, mercy's over. It's time for judgment. Then the Lord said to me, to Jeremiah, do not pray for this people, for their good. This is the third of three times that he tells Jeremiah not to pray for the people, because it's over. And we can't possibly know whether it's over for our, for the world, really. Not just our nation, but for the world. But it appears to me that it's close. The parallels are there. And, you know, we're going to keep praying for America, but really, is it appropriate for us right now? God bless America. Is that really appropriate? Many years ago, we as a church tried to emphasize when people say that, no, America, bless God, praise God, repent before God, because how can he bless an idolatrous nation of Israel in the day of Jeremiah? He wasn't blessing it because it was idolatrous or rebellious against him. Verse 12, when they fast, when these Jews fast, fast, and then God will give us rain, even though they're fasting because there is no rain. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by pestilence. And when you're saying burnt offerings, you're still doing your religious stuff. You're still doing church. Are there a lot of people in churches all across America? Yeah. But a lot of them, they're just partying. They don't even, and God looks down and he sees whether your heart is sincere. I love the God of the Bible and I love fellowshipping with his people. I love reading. I love worshiping Jesus and coming to him with a repentant heart of the things I'm still doing in rebellion. He sees that and he sees all the fakiness. And what he's telling these people is it's fake. You're not fasting because of your sin. You're fasting because you have a problem. Let's turn to Zechariah 7:3. The parallel passage in Zechariah is that after the 70 years of captivity, so we turn the clock forward 70 years, the Jews are coming back to Israel. They were taken captive to Babylon, and they're coming back to Israel. They're building the temple. The temple is now reconstructed to a certain extent. And the Jews came to Jeremiah, and they said, Jeremiah, should we still fast? You know, because we've been fasting 70 years because of us being in captivity in Babylon. We've been fasting. And then verse 3, chapter 7, verse 3. And to ask the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done for so many years? Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets, when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous, and the south and the lowlands were inhabited back before the judgment of Babylon? Really, were you really fasting for me? And the fifth and the seventh month, the fifth month was when the temple was destroyed. So they would remember on this day, on this month, the temple was destroyed, and they would fast all day. And the tenth month is when the Babylonians took captive everybody that they took to Babylon. They left some stragglers back behind, and they left a governor in charge of them who was assassinated. And when he was assassinated, the people that were left back in the land, they grieved there too. They, you know, man, we get Babylon, and then we were going to maybe have some freedom. But, and I'm trying to remember the name of the guy that was assassinated. Huh? Gedaliah. He left the governor Gedaliah in charge. And then this wicked dude, he assassinates him. And so those 70 years, they're fasting on those two horrible days in their history. And then God says, really? I mean, is that really what you were fasting about? Why don't you fast about the fact that what led to all that destruction and all that judgment was the fact that you spilled innocent blood and you did horrible idolatry and immorality in the country? That's what he was saying. Going back to Jeremiah 14:13, and this, remember 11, Jeremiah was told, don't pray for these people. 14:13, then I said, Jeremiah said, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, they're saying to these people that I'm giving a bad message to. I tell them that I'm not even supposed to pray for you. Judgment's coming. You think drought's bad. Wait until you see the sword of Babylon. I'm telling them all this stuff. And the prophets, but the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine. But I will give you assured peace in this place. What kind of prophets were those? False prophets. What does Peter say in 2 Peter chapter 2? I'll just read it so you don't have to turn it there, but you might want to write it in your Bible. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring unto themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed. People will blaspheme Christianity because they see false teachers, doing what they do on the false teachers that we see within the church, the big mega church people that spout off all this stuff, and people just go, if that's Christianity, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Then false prophets, today false teachers. So, what should every true biblical pastor and teacher be warning his congregants and the people, the society around them with? That prosperity's coming? You know, blab it and grab it? I'm serious. These false teachers say, you just say it. You have to have faith in your faith. You have to have faith in your word, and you're going to get that better job. You're going to get that better place. Other people that don't have the blessings of God are not going to get it, but you're going to get it because you come to this church and you send money or you whatever. Exactly the same thing. You know, because people will say, we're negative. If you teach the Bible, it's negative. It's negative to sin. It's very positive to righteousness, repentance, and glory to God. Verse 15 of Jeremiah 14. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, whom I did not send, and who say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. My sword and famine, those prophets shall be, by sword and famine, those prophets shall be consumed. Man, this stuff scares me. I mean, it's why I want to... Can you imagine? God was saying, don't worry about it, Jeremiah. They're having their heyday with the people right now, and that's why they want to kill you, is because you're negative and they're positive. But the sword's going to run through them. They're going to suffer. Imagine judgment coming to us in a way. Or verse 16. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem, because of their famine and the sword, they will have no one to bury them. Them, nor their wives, their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness on them. Who's going to die? Entire families. They're going to have nobody to bury them. They're going to be dying out in the streets with nobody. Could this ever happen in America? You know, consider how bad it was for Israel on October 7th, which by percentages of population, this was tens of thousands of Americans dying, equivalent. Because again, you got 7 million Jews, you got 350 million Americans, they lose, what was it, 2,200 people were killed, was it? 1,200, I'm sorry, it was 1,200 people were killed. So multiply that out, and it's just like thousands of Americans. And it could have been so much worse, because they're infiltrating into an area, and they were, some of them had Israeli vehicles now. They took Israeli cars, Israeli vehicles, some of the Israeli uniforms, and then they're starting to go. And just the chaos of even not knowing the enemy within. When you have the enemy within, they can do horrible damage. And we have millions of enemies within that have been brought into this country deliberately by globalists who want to destroy this country. And it's the thought of many people, and I think they're right, that some of them are trained and prepared and ready for the order to do October 7th on America. And if that were to happen, there would be a mass of death like we have never seen in this country. And there would be whole areas where there's not even the ability to bury the dead before, as it's going to go on to, before the birds and the animals take over. Whole families wiped out, just like in the kibbutzes of the different villages next to Gaza of the Israelis. Entire communities wiped out. Men, women, children, completely wiped out by savage demoniacs that were sent by Satan as a judgment against Israel today. Because Israel is not serving God. They are really in the same state as the days of Jeremiah. They were glorifying homosexuality big time in Tel Aviv and in their government, glorifying abortion, other things, and God can't totally destroy them. As he said multiple times in the Old Testament, I could have destroyed you except for my promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he can't destroy them, even though they deserve to be, as we deserve to be. But he's disciplining them right now, and the discipline of this coming war with, you know, which, again, last week, for those that listened to last week's study online, you know, it was imminent war. Tonight, it's imminent, because Germany has canceled their flights to Tehran, to Iran. Iran has canceled, you know, stopped all flights that are allowed to be flying over their country. People are armed up in full battle readiness in Israel bunkers with their military commanders in Iran doing the same thing. And the price of oil is shot up because somebody has let the word out, the Gulf, the oil transfer through the Arabian Gulf is possibly going to be challenged, so it just shot up today. And other things that are happening that makes it seem like what was imminent last week and therefore not imminent because we're now this week, is really imminent today. And there could be things that change that we would know are a result of God's judgment. It's not just Iran, it's God's judgment. He's the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The second horseman is peace being taken from the world, and we're seeing the beginning days of peace being taken from the world. Some people are just going crazy because are the globalists wanting everybody to drive an electric car? So it would seem like if you want everybody to drive an electric car, that you wouldn't want to shut down electrical power plants, right? Would that make some sense? But instead, there was an article, the last coal-fired power plants in New England are to close. Why? Because of climate change. So it's like somebody with just really basic understanding of things knows that you don't want to shut power plants down if you want to have electrical. Except for one thing. When is that not a dichotomy? When is that not a mutually exclusive mindset? If there's millions and millions less people, that you know there's going to be millions less people. And then it doesn't matter if you shut down a coal-fired plant. Maybe they know something I don't know. Either that or they're so satanically delusional they don't know what they're doing. Or they have some new technology, like I was talking about during announcement time that I won't do on tape, that there's new technology that is going to eliminate the need for coal-fired plants, and we'll see in the future what happens there. Verse 17, therefore, Jeremiah 14:17, therefore you shall say this word to them, let my eyes flow with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people has been broken with a mighty stroke, with a very severe blow. If I go out to the field, then behold those slain with the sword. And if I enter the city, then behold those sick from famine. Yes, both prophet and priest go about in a land they do not know. So tell them, you know, they hate you because you're a negative prophet, and they have positive prophets that say you're negative. Tell them, this is why he's called the weeping prophet. But tell them, my eyes are weeping. I've seen the future. You're dead in the streets. You're dead in the city. You're eating your children in the city is what happened. And you don't even understand what's happening. God's judgment's coming and you're not repenting because they listen to false prophets. The people respond to God in the next verses. Have you utterly rejected Judah? The people are saying to God. Has your soul loathed Zion? Why have you stricken us so that there is no healing for us? We looked for peace, but there was no good, and for a time of healing, and there was trouble. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against you. And it's like, but don't abhor us. Let us keep doing it. Do not abhor us. For your name's sake, we're your Jews. We can do whatever you want. You're a graceful God. Do not disgrace your throne, the throne of your glory. Remember, do not break your covenant with us. Are there any among the idols of the nations that can cause rain, or can the heavens give showers? Are you not He, O Lord, our God? Therefore, we will wait for you, since you have made all these. I mean, God, we've already asked our other idols on every high hill to bring rain, and they haven't done it, so we're going to take a shot with you again. And remember, you're we're the promised people. Or today, we're Americans. We're Christian Americans. We can do whatever we want to. God bless America. Remember, we have it in our songs. 2 Corinthians 7:9, don't have to turn there because it's just a couple verses. This is what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Paul wrote a heavy letter to the Corinthians because they were in sin and rebellion against him. What did they do? They repented. And they were sorrowful. They were really hurt by Paul's letter. And this is what he writes them in 2 Corinthians 7:9. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. The sorrow of the world is, man, I got caught. Man, I'm in jail. I won't be able to do drugs till I get out. That's the sorrow of the world. But the sorrow of God, the sorrow of repentance of a humble heart is, oh, God, save me from the drugs, alcohol, whatever got me into jail, stealing, whatever else. God, when I get out of here, I'm going to serve you as my Lord and Savior. I realize the emptiness of my life, and I humble myself before you. They're going to be set free. And here we have Israel, 19 through 22, begging God to take care of them, even though they want to keep worshiping idols. And that's America today. We are not calling the nation to repentance. Our leaders are not even mentioning Jesus and not mentioning our offense against God. No one, even the conservatives, are not saying we're offending God. And then we'll do a little bit here, chapter 15, 1 through 5, and then turn to Ezekiel. Then the Lord said to me, you know, as they're saying, come on, God, take care of us, even though we're sinners. We're not going to repent, but just take care of us. Then the Lord said to me, even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind would not be favorable towards this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. And it shall be if they say to you, where should we go? Then you shall tell them, thus says the Lord, such as for death to death, such as for the sword to the sword, and such as are for famine to the famine, and such as are for captivity to the captivity. None of you are going to be really left stand. Just a handful of people were left to stay in the land. And I will appoint over them four forms of destruction, says the Lord. The sword to slay, the dogs to drag, the birds of the heavens and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. Think about that picture. Again, they're not going to be able to bury people. And so this is how you're going to be destroyed. Your bodies, you're going to be killed, and your bodies are going to be bird food and dog food. I will hand them over to trouble, to all kingdoms of the earth, because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for what he did in Jerusalem. For who will have pity on you, O Jerusalem? Or who will bemoan you? Or who will turn aside to ask how you are doing? Now Manasseh was how many years before this? 50 years. 50 years earlier, Manasseh was slaughtering people in Jerusalem. He's spreading innocent blood. And so let's go to Ezekiel 14:12. And this is a parallel passage. So while Jeremiah is telling the Jewish population still in Jerusalem, he's prophesying, if Moses and Samuel were here, well, hundreds of miles away in Babylon, Ezekiel is prophesying to the people that have already defected and gone to Babylon. And those people are being taught by false teachers too. Don't listen to Ezekiel. Our people that haven't been carried to Babylon, God's going to protect them. Their Jerusalem's going to be spared. And so this is what Ezekiel's being told by God to tell the people already in Babylon. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine on it, and cut off man and beast from it. Exactly what Jeremiah... So, prophet here in Babylon, prophesying the exact same thing that Jeremiah is prophesying. And then verse 14, even if these three, forget Moses and Samuel. Now it's Noah, Daniel, and Job. So Ezekiel gets Noah, Daniel, and Job, while Jeremiah gets Moses and Samuel. If they were in Jerusalem right now, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord God. If I cause wild beasts to pass through the land, and they empty it and make it so desolate that no man may pass through because of the beasts, even though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, only they would be delivered, and the land would be desolate. And then verse 17 and 18 is, if he brings a sword, only by these three men. 19, if he brings pestilence, only by these three men. Verse 21, for thus says the Lord God, how much more it shall be when I send my four severe judgments on Jerusalem, the sword and famine and wild beasts and pestilence, to cut off man and beast from it. Yet behold, verse 22, there shall be left in it a remnant, who will be brought out, because I can't destroy Israel. Yet, even though it's really going to be all-encompassing, there's going to be a small remnant that comes out, be brought out, both sons and daughters. Surely they will come out to you, to Babylon, because they're defecting, as Jeremiah is telling them to. And you will see their ways and their doings. Then you will be comforted concerning the disaster that I have brought upon Jerusalem, all that I have brought upon it. So Ezekiel is in Babylon, already carried away with some other captives. And Jeremiah is saying, go run away to Babylon and your life will be spared. The Jews are killing people that are trying to run away to have their lives spared because they're traitors. And so he's saying, those people that stay in Jerusalem, they're going to be wiped out, but there's going to be a remnant. The people are going to come out. Why? Because they listened to Jeremiah. Because they listened to the prophet. And they did what he said to do. The escape plan is to go to Babylon. What's our escape plan? To go to heaven with Jesus. So we're listening to the prophet Jesus. We're listening to prophet John and Paul and all the others. When you see these things beginning to take place, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Keep your heart towards Jesus. Hold on to the faith, despite what the world is saying about it. And then we will have everlasting life. And then, one more place. 2 Kings 24:3. We'll close with this. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read Jeremiah 15:4 again. I will hand them over to trouble, to all kingdoms of the earth, because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for what he did in Jerusalem. And then this is what 2 Kings 24:3 says. 2 Kings 24, verse 3. Surely at the commandment of the Lord, this came upon Judah. So the writer of 2 Kings, the historian, is saying, this is why Judah was destroyed. To remove them from his sight because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done, and also because of the innocent blood that he had shed, for he had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Now Manasseh repented, and God kind of pardoned him, but it didn't pardon the blood that was shed, because he only led the people in taking part in shedding the blood. Is our country shedding innocent blood? Millions of children's blood is crying out. I've emphasized this so many times, but it's a big deal to God. And do you hear any of the debate, Supreme Court, any of the courts, conservative, House, Senate, Republicans or Democrats, is anybody bringing up the fact that we're shedding the innocent blood of children and God is watching and it will destroy our country like it destroyed Israel? Anybody saying that? And that's a sign that we're ready for judgment. Because we're not even acknowledging God's existence as a country, whether we're conservative or not. It's all based on the principle of what we want to do. It's not invoking the God who created the principle, and which we need to do. And even in our own lives, if we or anybody else has been affected through that, we can individually say, God, forgive me, a sinner. Because of taking part in, you know, as I've shared with you before, when I first became a Christian, I was still all in on the abortion narrative, which had just been taught to me in my senior high school because Roe v. Wade happened in my graduation year. And I believed, oh, it's just flesh, it's just this, it's just that. And then my friend said, Kevin, you're a Christian now. You can't believe that. Took me to some of the verses, Jeremiah chapter 1, that, you know, was formed in the womb and all this other stuff, and then bam, changed. And so God forgive me for even thinking it was okay or just supporting anybody in it at all. And then for anybody here that has been touched by taking part in abortion, isn't it awesome that God's forgiveness is there for those that are sinners against God? Because we just don't bemoan the suffering that we go through as a result of sin. We have suffering that leads to repentance. I know it was sin, and I'm trusting on the blood of Jesus Christ to save me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Though my sins were as crimson, they shall be made white as snow. And that can heal the heart and give us a hope. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We just stand in awe again of how alive it is and how it's just as applicable to our day. And God, we again lift up your Jewish people who tonight are looking at peril very soon, they say imminently. And although we don't know what imminent will be on your time clock, that they will be suffering, and we know a lot of it is just because they have started to walk away from you like their ancestors did. And you're going to bring them back to you, Lord, by your divine right hand being powerful on your people's part, but there's going to be suffering. And we pray that you would just help us to be a voice like Jeremiah that would tell the truth, that we can't sin against you with impunity as a country, and help people to realize that you have a voice in this debate in our country. And that we need to worship you instead of letting people go by their own imaginations, Lord. That we should be casting our cares upon you. That we should not lean on our own understanding, but in every way acknowledge you and let you direct our paths. Help us to do so in our own lives, Lord, and warn others that are not. In Jesus' name, amen.
Unto thee, O Lord,
unto thee, O Lord,
do I lift up my soul,
do I lift up my soul,
unto thee, O Lord,
unto thee, O Lord,
do I lift up my soul,
do I lift up my soul,
O my God,
O my God,
I trust in thee, let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Unto thee, O Lord,
unto thee, O Lord,
do I lift up my soul,
do I lift up my soul,
unto thee, O Lord,
unto thee, O Lord,
do I lift up my soul,
do I lift up my soul,
O my God,
O my God,
I trust in thee, let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me.
Who's our enemy? Devil Satan. Is he going to triumph over us? Absolutely not. We're washed in the blood of our protective lamb. And death will pass over us, and that's what he held us slavery to until faith in him. Amen. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.